Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Let us continue what we have been teaching on the subject of the force of faith today by reading from the book of Romans chapter 10. What I want to talk about today, again, is what exactly do we believe? We have been talking about the force of faith, that faith is a force. It does work. It's not just an idle thing in the heart. It's not just a state of the heart that keeps your mind at peace alone, but that it actually actively produces results in the life of people. And that whatever God wants to do on earth, if he does not find people of faith, he can't do them. The things that have existed, they need people of faith to change them. If you have a serious decadent situation, you need a person of faith to turn it around. Without somebody facing something by faith, it will never change. The problem with life is that people don't understand that everybody is here on assignment, that you have been called by God to do something specific on this earth to cause a turnaround to be. God never sent anybody to the earth to come and enjoy. And it's a great mistake to think that when you come down to the earth, you look for the place of greatest enjoyment to go and tabernacle so that you can partake in that which somebody else has produced, and you say that your life is fulfilled. You discover that by the time, you may have heard the expression before, what they call the middle age crisis, that a time comes in life, people get to their middle ages, they begin to wonder, what has my life been? And I'm telling you today, as one who understands the mind and the counsel of God, that you will have confusion and frustration in life if all you have to say as a middle-aged man is that I have enjoyed my life to the fullest. That real satisfaction in life is not from having enjoyed, having driven all kinds of cars. A very wealthy man was going to die. Well, maybe he was sick at that time, but this happened about a week or two before he finally died. Somebody went to visit him, and he went down to his garage, and he showed the man all kinds of cars that he had there, the best cars that this world has seen. Some of them he had never driven. He looked at all of them. These cars were properly housed so that their colors wouldn't change. And he looked and said, all of this is vanity. I always say to people, you must make sure your life is not another experiment. That is something for people to learn from on how not to do things. That God gave us Solomon to make his life an experiment, or to experiment with life so that we can see the result and not turn our lives to experiment. What I mean is that if you go and read the book of Ecclesiastes, you see that Solomon sat down and checked how to enjoy life. He tried everything in life. At the end of the day, he said, it is vanity, vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. It is like pursuing after the wind. That many of the things that we are chasing in life, we will discover after getting them that we have gotten nothing. You have fought, you have killed, you have labored, you have tried, you have deprived yourself, cheated people, killed your conscience just to get money. You will get the money one day. You will get it to be coming out of your ears and out of your mouth. You will have so much of it, all you can say that this is vanity. I saw a movie many years ago, a comedy actually with Richard Pryor, in which his distant uncle said he was the only surviving relative, and the man was so wealthy, he said he wanted to do to him with money what his father did to him once with cigarette smoking. The father caught him smoking. And the father said, as a young man, his own father caught him smoking and said, I want to ensure that you never smoke again in your life. So he locked him up in a place and gave him all the cigars he needed and said, until you finish smoking the cigar, you're not coming out. For days, the boy was there smoking. So by the time he came out of the place, next time he saw a cigarette or a cigar, he ran away. That he had had enough of it. So the man said, I want to do the same thing to you with money. So he gave him a certain number of conditions, and the guy was under pressure to finish spending $30 million in 30 days. At the point in time, he looked and said, I am sick of money. Now, maybe that may be a joke, it may be a comedy, but the truth is that that's how life is. Some of the things you are running after you have gotten them, you will realize that this thing was not worth the chase. It was not worth the pursuit of it. You know, I was listening to Ravi Zacharias, the Christian apologist, and he was describing how David chased Abigail until he got Abigail. And that the Bible recorded as soon as he finished marrying Abigail, he married another woman. He said that was to give us an example what men are like in life. It appears like it's just that chasing period that they seem to understand. After that, everything loses meaning. I'm trying to explain something, that what appears to you like a need today is not actually a need. It's a distraction that Satan is giving to you. Your friend has a bigger job than you have, so you are working hard to make sure you earn as much as your friend. I always say that you don't have any mate in life. Nobody's your mate. God called you alone. You are the only one that God called the day he called you. You were born to fulfill God's purpose for your life alone. You are not supposed to be there comparing yourself with anybody else. If you are doing that, you are missing it in life. One day, you will achieve all the things that you wanted to achieve, and you will look back and there will be dissatisfaction in your soul. Some of the most prosperous nations of this earth have the highest suicide rates amongst young men and young women. Because their life doesn't seem to have meaning. They want a car, they have it. They want a good job, they have it. They want a luxurious apartment, they have it. At the end of the day, they wake up in the morning and there is nothing that they are living for. The reason is simple. Jesus has described it. If you go and read the book of John chapter 4, Jesus said it like this. He said, "My satisfaction is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And that applies to everybody. What will give you satisfaction and contentment in life is that you are doing the will of him that sent you and you are accomplishing his work. What I'm saying is that God has a will, all right, for your life. I'm going to begin to talk about that when we finish this series. That there is a will that God has for your life, and if you locate it and you walk in it, your life will have meaning in that pursuit. And when you have finished, you will look back and you'll be satisfied. After Paul went through so much suffering in life, he went through so much adversity. He preached the gospel to strange people. Sometimes he will finish preaching and they will stone him. Sometimes he will be shipwrecked while trying to do the ministry that God gave him to do. But when he finished everything, I like the way he said it. He wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 7, he said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." He said, "In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Now, I'm trying to explain something here. There's actually a day of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. This world is temporal. Whether we like it or not, it is a temporal world. A day of judgment will come. This life is nothing but a dot in the span of eternity. We have a greater life to live, in which we have to account for our deeds while we're on this earth. And it's so important that when we are living life, we have a consciousness of the fact that there is a righteous judge who is the judge of all the earth. You can kill and maim and fight and find yourself in political office today if you use it wrongly. Do you understand? In fact, the way by which you got it will decide how you will use it. And both the method by which you got your office and what you do while you are there, if it's not pleasing to God, in the days to come, you will be judged lower than the least of all men. And that day of judgment is most certainly going to come. We must never see the gospel of Christ Jesus as if it's just about healing your sick body, giving a job to you when you're in lack, giving you a good husband and wife and beautiful children, and making you prosperous, bringing you out of poverty. Now, those things are the things that Jesus said are added to people who have walked with God and have been pleasing to him. Paul said, more importantly, that's what I'm talking about, after he had gone through all the things he went through in life, in his own middle-age crisis, if you understand what I mean by that, he sat down and looked over his life and he said, "Yes, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course." And I said, everybody has a course in life. He said, "I have kept the faith." Finishing that course is the only thing that will give you the boldness and the confidence with which you will face eternity. That you will look with gladness and know that indeed you have been pleasing to God. And Paul said, he said, "I have a crown laid up for me that the righteous judge, the Lord, has awaiting not only me, but everybody that has loved his appearing." There was a man, Theodore Epp, just like I teach on radio now, he used to teach on radio also, and the name of his own program was called Back to the Bible. And I got a pamphlet, which was a transcript of the last message he gave while he was on this earth. Shortly after that, I think a week or two afterwards, he died, and he went home to be with the Lord. There's a reason why I'm telling the story of Theodore Epp. He had taught the word of God for many years, and then the day came in which they invited him to come and speak to this graduating class of Bible school students. And he took his text of scripture from this same area, this 2 Timothy chapter 4. He read the words of Paul and applied it to himself and said, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith." He said, "There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me." And he began to describe the course of his life. And he described his life, how he became a Bible school student, how he finished Bible school, how he began to preach, how God led him to go and teach the people the word of God, and how he did that consistently over many decades. And a day came and he said, I have finished everything. And he said, I know for sure that this is the last public message I am going to be giving. And indeed, it was the last public message he ever gave, because he died a few days afterwards. All right, which for me was a fulfillment of the fact that the man knew what he was saying, or a demonstration of the fact that this man knew what he was saying. And I'm saying again that that is available to everybody. It's not only to the man who has preached. All right, a man could have built a company, great company and businesses, and blessed the lives of many people. He may have been a generous helper of the poor and the helpless, and a supporter of the gospel of Christ. And having done that over many years, he will look back and said, I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, that is available for everyone. And actually, what Jesus did for us was to reintroduce us into the path of God for our lives, because everyone has a course that God has carved out for him. And it's only when you are walking on that course of God that you can be said to be doing the will of God. Are you getting the point I'm making there? Now, so we have been saying all of these things, talking about the force of faith. I said faith is not just something that we use to get our needs met, but to find ourselves walking all the time in the course that God has set for our lives. And a lot of the troubles that some of us are experiencing in life is God's method of readdressing or redirecting us towards the center of his will for our lives. Later on, we'll begin to talk once again about that will of God. It's so important. Now, so I said we should open to the book of Romans chapter 10. I will start my reading from verse 11. It said, for the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. Now, however, Paul said, they did not all hear the glad tidings, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? It says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Now, I've read all of this to bring out some important issues. We have been talking about faith, and that by faith we can create things on the earth. God uses people of faith to rearrange things of this earth to fit divine order. And that any good thing that's going to come onto the earth must come through people of faith. They must be activated by people who have laid hold on the word of God by faith. And so we're not saying that, okay, what exactly will people believe for us to say that the person has faith? Now, what I want to bring out today, which we'll continue next time if time runs out on us, is that issue of testimony or evidence. When we are talking about faith, in fact, in the last many weeks, I've been emphasizing the fact that there is a capacity to believe which we must all develop. There's a capacity to believe. Now, but if you notice something, especially when I use the story of the widow of Zarephath to emphasize the point, that Elijah came one day to the door of the widow of Zarephath and said that, give me your own last meal. You have only enough for you and your son. I will eat it, but the food will not finish. Because thus says the Lord, God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. Now, we emphasized in previous teachings on the fact that that woman responded to what Elijah said. And I emphasized the fact that the capacity to believe must be developed before one really can take hold of God. And that when Jesus was talking about answers to prayers, he said that if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. That is, if is a condition. That is, faith is a condition for results. And that's why he emphasized, if you can believe. So I talked about thanksgiving and love being the means by which we develop our capacity to believe. But what I'm trying to focus on to beginning from now is exactly what it is that we believe. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You may have the capacity to believe, but Paul taught us now in Romans chapter 10, he was explaining that what are they going to believe? Because he said that who has believed our report? It is important that we believe what God has said. Faith is not just, I have faith that it will be okay. No, let me tell you what real Christian faith is. Christian faith is that I believe what has been told me. Do you get my point? That it will be okay. If you're going to read from the book of Acts chapter 27, which I alluded to in previous teachings, Paul was on the sea during his voyage, and the voyage turned out to be a very terrible one. In verse 9, it says, "And when considerable time had passed, and the voyage was now dangerous." All right? Now, the point I'm making here is this. You see that the voyage became dangerous. You see that things were very rough. The ship was being seriously beaten by the waves, the storm. Then in verse 23, Paul was now speaking to the people. From around verse 21, he was trying to encourage the people not to lose heart. He said, "I want you to take courage." From verse 22, he says, "For there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night," that's verse 23, "an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul, you must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you.'" He said, "Therefore, keep up your courage, men." Now, Paul was addressing them. "Why am I telling you to keep up your courage?" He said, "Because I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told." Now, faith is not just that I believe that it will turn out well. Faith is that I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. Faith always has an object of the word of God to lay his hands on. Are you getting my point? We have talked about the ability to believe. Listen to me. You can hear the word of God and not believe it. We have addressed that matter. That man, Elijah, appeared in the presence of that widow of Zarephath and spoke the word of God to her. Like we read, he said clearly that this is what God says, this food will not finish. Here, Paul was again speaking. He said, "God sent his angel to talk to me that nobody will die." And he said, "I believe God." So what is it that we are supposed to believe when we're talking about faith? It's actually the word of God. I'm saying something here that we may have the capacity to believe, but if we don't have the word of God, there is nothing to believe. You cannot just wake up and say, "I believe it will be okay." It must be because the word of God has spoken to you that it will be okay. I'm explaining something. Because you see, life speaks. Let me say that. That's actually the main thing I want to introduce today. There are evidences everywhere. When I say evidences now, I mean everything utters their opinion to you. As you go out every day, Satan is offering you his opinion. When you turn on your TV and you hear the news, news is hardly ever stated without bias. No, really. Somebody will report news. Now, those who give news, they deliver it a lot of times to support their own bias. I'm trying to bring out something. So when you watch the news, things are spoken to you. For those of you who watch international news, you see the network like Al Jazeera. It was started to counteract the popular CNN. Do you get my point? Because they felt that the reporting of news was not favorable towards their own cause, that is the Arabs. Now, this is important for us to understand. What they are saying, in effect, that the news you hear shapes your attitude towards life. That's what they are saying, in effect. Are you getting my point? And that is a matter of fact. Therefore, I'm going to explain something. You go out to hear news. This is interesting. Satan uses those things to address you. Life tries to tell you things. And this is one thing you must get. What life is trying to tell you is not necessarily what God wants you to know or what may even be correct. Are you getting the point I'm making? It's just reflecting the bias of the people that are speaking to you. Secondly, even you see things. Like somebody said, you don't see with your eyes, you see through your eyes. That is what the bias you have in mind colors the thing that you are seeing. At the end of the day, all these things form an expectation for your life. And that expectation is where your faith holds on to. Are you getting my point? We have described the fact that faith produces an expectation. Therefore, the information I give you is what your faith interacts with. I'm trying to bring out something. Because when we are talking about faith, we must have the word of God for our faith to have meaning. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because you go out and everything that you come across is telling you something. Like somebody said, that there are many angles from which you can fall down, but that there's only one angle with which you can stand upright. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is, out of 360 degrees, all right, that a plane can go, it's only one particular direction he will go, and that will be correct. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, life speaks to you, you hear evidence, and like I always give us examples, people will come and tell you, one day, I was speaking with a young man, trying to tell me that Nigerians cannot afford constant power supply. He reminded me that minimum wage was only 7,000 or 7,500 naira. And I said, that is why they call it minimum wage. It is not maximum wage. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is, he was trying to persuade me that good things can't come out of Nigeria. And I said, it is not true. You have chosen what you want to believe. I am telling you something else which I have read from the word of God, which I am shaping my faith with. Now, please, get the point I'm trying to make here. When we are talking about faith, we are not just talking about the fact that we want things to be okay. We are saying that we have studied the word of God. We are saying that we have had inspiration. We are saying that we have heard the teaching of God's word, and God has promised us something. If your faith is going to be effective in life, that's what I'm going to explain, it must be hooked upon the revealed word of God. If you go out, listen, this is how one of the ways you can actually kill your faith. Because later on, I am going to be talking about the things that hinder faith. One of the ways by which you can choke the faith that God is stimulating in your heart is the kind of information that you are feeding it. You sit down with people who are not going anywhere, who are trying to use the nation as the excuse for their failure, and they feed you with so much information that your heart is crowded with negative knowledge, that the time comes that you too, you become persuaded like they are, that nothing good can come out of Nazareth. And at the end of the day, because that is what your faith is, as a matter of fact, nothing good comes out of your life. Are you getting my point? Now, let me say this again. What you believe creates an expectation for you. And that expectation eventually comes to pass in your life. Please get the point I'm going to make very clear. What you believe creates an expectation for you, and that expectation is what eventually comes to pass. That is why you must be careful that if God has given you the capacity to believe, that you focus your attention on the things that God wants you to know. Let me say something. There's one scripture I read here. He said that faith comes then by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. What was he saying there? That is, your faith is inconsequential until you have divine information to hold with it. Are you getting my point? That is why, as a Christian, as a child of God, as somebody who is of faith, as somebody who is planning to go far in life, you must surround yourself with positive information. You must surround yourself with the truth of the word of God. A lot of people are able to spend 1,000 naira buying a fashion magazine that comes out every month just to see what the celebrities are wearing now. But you tell them to buy a good book that will feed them with the knowledge of God, they think it's expensive. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? I mean, the way I like to give examples all the time is this. A young lady wants to marry. A young man wants to marry. It says in our culture, marriage is very expensive. There is a list from the girl's father's side, another list from the girl's mother's family, and the list from the nuclear family. Then some things you have to buy, and they would say, look, we have to spend so much money. And that's on the guy's side. That's on the man's side. And on the girl's side, another issue. No, my gown must be one in town. Where are you making your gown? I'm making it from Divine Bridals. And they make one very decent, cheap gown for only 65,000 naira. No, my gold is coming straight from Egypt. Coming straight from Saudi Arabia. Let's use that as an example. And then, no, this is not only 21 carat or 23 carat. In fact, they are making special carats just because of me. I'm going to start my engagement with real diamond. And they speak and speak. At the end of the day, what has gone into the production of a two-day ceremony? Millions of naira. Listen, that's what it is, a two-day ceremony. The cost of your wedding does not in any way guarantee success. Are you getting my point? The cost of your wedding does not guarantee success at all. I remember once I was in an office with one of my senior colleagues, and he was looking for a particular bucket he brought to the office. Finally, we located the bucket, and he picked up the bucket, and the bucket happened to have been a souvenir from a wedding. Are you getting my point? And he lifted up the bucket and said, I still remember this wedding day. This was how the women tied all their gele that nobody could see road because of the weight and the heaviness of the headgear that they all had. He said, the marriage didn't last 3 years. Just carry this bucket and continue to go going. And bring down something. That success in marriage is not built upon the cost of the wedding. Are you getting my point? It is not built upon the fact that the whole society gathered and shouted, that was money being sacrificed. No, it is built upon the truth. It said you shall know the truth. And that truth that you have discovered is what will set you free. But a lot of people are not interested. If you tell them, take 1 month aside. Okay, give me 100,000 naira. Let me give you all the books and the tapes that will teach you divine principles to give you an expectation in marriage. They'll tell you it is expensive. Listen, the information that you put inside your heart is more important than the impression that you give people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That you cannot believe God if you have not discovered what he has to say. Listen, I said everything speaks. The society speaks. Your experiences in life, they speak. Your friends say their own things. But only the word of God brings you the results that we abide. It's so important. So what I'm trying to explain to us today, he said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm saying there are two things, I'm discussing only one now, that we need to do so that we have the proper faith active in our lives. The first one I've mentioned, which is what I'm discussing, is that we must have adequate information. The word of God must fill your heart. Listen, this is what I want Christians to understand, that listening to God and imbibing the truth of God is not a hobby. It must never be a hobby. You get up tomorrow, go to a bookshop and hear truth, because only the word of God abides forever. Spend your money on tapes, on CDs. Spend your time tuning for a program like this that they will tell you the truth. Because what the world likes to tell you is what Satan wants you to know. And Satan's job is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Are you getting my point? When you buy a newspaper, let me tell you the truth. I don't mean this to sound negative against news media, but the fact is that most newspapers, what is more important to them than anything else is what sells. It's not what is true. Are you getting the point I'm making? It is not what is true. Only God gives you information that helps you, and not because he wants to make money from it. Are you getting my point? Please, I hope you've gotten the point I'm going to make. We'll develop this matter continuing from next time.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.